This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
I actually believe this morning that I don't have a message. I don't have a sermon. Yeah, that's Adam. See ya. It's not a teaching message. What I do have this morning, I believe, is a word from the Lord. I believe it's a prophetic word from the Lord that He started to speak to me a few weeks ago. And He's been building on that, and it's just interesting to see where that's gone. I'm not going to share directly with you just what that is yet. You have to hear what I have to say first, and then I'll tell you what I think He's been saying to me. Okay, I do want to, first of all, have a look at this. Can we see, is that readable? Can you see that? This is our vision at Montbock Christian Fellowship. For some of you who are newer and maybe haven't been around, for some of us who have been around for a long time, we haven't probably looked at it for a while, this is the vision that God has given this fellowship: to see the army of God raised up, every member awake and equipped, fully released in their giftings and callings, taking up the sword of the Spirit with a common purpose, which is to see God's glory revealed and every captive set free, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Out of that vision statement, we get our mission as a church. And this is our mission. This is how we're going to complete that vision that God has given this church. Our mission, our job as a fellowship is to win people to Christ. That's the first point. Then establish them in Christ, make them useful for Christ, and then to release them to go as Christ. So as part of that mission, you know, we all fall into that. Our first point of call was to be one to Christ. Then we each, before we can impart that to anyone else, we need to make sure that we are established in Christ, that we are useful for Christ, and that we go as Christ. Sometimes we can tend to think about it as, oh, we'll send them to go as Christ. I'll send you, Iris, to go as Christ. Or you, Liz, or Brian, you go as Christ. This is about you, me, going as Christ. Put yourself in that. So I just wanted to remind us about our vision as a church. You know, this is only the third Sunday of the year, the third Sunday of 2016, and God has clearly been speaking to us over the last few weeks. I want to remind you of some of the things that God has said to us. Just, he's been talking to us for a long time, but just even in the last two Sundays past, through the prophetic word, some of the things that God has said to us. That's an awesome thing, that God speaks to us through the prophetic word. It actually says in Amos, I'm going to skip ahead in my notes, but I want to share that with you now. It says in Amos, and I just have to find where I've written that, and I can't find it, but it says that God doesn't reveal any, you know, He reveals His plans through the prophets. That's what He does. God has a plan. He reveals it to us through the prophets. The prophetic word is such an important part of our Christian life. And I, for one, am glad that as a church, we embrace that and make room for that to happen. So these are some of the things. I'm not going to read all of it out to you, but I just want to highlight some of the things that I heard the Lord say, and you will possibly remember some of these words. On the first Sunday of the month, the Lord said, it is the year of miracles. This is the year of miracles. Then He said, it's the year of grand proportions. No small thing, it's the year of mighty things. On that same day, He said, we've got to see with our spiritual eyes. We can't look to the world with our eyes of the natural. We've got to call the things that are already established in heaven into the now. said, don't be afraid, don't hold back, it's a joy. There, the people, in context, the people out there are waiting. God has already purposed these people to come into our lives. They're in our neighbourhood. Then he confirmed that word. Yes, this is through someone else. Yes, this will be the year of miracles. Yet in the midst of that, there will arise a people. I'll read a little bit more actually. He says, this will be the year of miracles, and yet there are going to be times of darkness. There will be times when people's hearts will fail them for fear. There will be times when people to look and to find direction and find none. Yet in the midst of this darkness, a light will shine. You are the light of the world. Yet in the midst of that, there will arise a people that will stand strong, who will be fearless, who will have peace in their hearts. Even in the midst of chaos, there will be order to this world in the midst of chaos. People want to see miracles. They're tired of the old ways of doing things. They're tired of things falling apart. The nations are crying out for the coming of the Lord, even though they will not acknowledge it. This is the word of the Lord to us at Monbolt Christian Fellowship. Then to someone else on the same day, there was a prayer that when we see these miracles, Lord, we will keep our eyes fixed on you. Then the following Sunday, the eyes are going to look to him, the eyes. He wants to speak things into your ear, secret things. He's going to reveal new things. He's going to reveal to you. He's going to show you things. Your ears will be attentive. Then again, he says, first of all, you're going to hear. Are you noticing a pattern? He's talking about our eyes. He's talking about our ears. First of all, you're going to hear. You're going to get downloads from heaven, and it's going to be confirmed by man. And then there came a word that my ears pricked up at this. The word was be ready, be ready, be ready. In the past in the house, I've heard get ready, get ready, get ready. Now I hear be ready. To me, that something grabbed me about that, because it seemed to me like there was a shift. And I feel, I don't know about you, but I feel in the last months and leading up until now that there has been some sort of shift in the time that we're in. And I looked up, you know, the word get means that we're going to cause to become. The word be means to be. It is. So we've gone from getting ready to now it is you be ready. You be ready. The time for getting ready is gone. That's what I heard. Then there was a word that I had that the Lord showed me that I believe as a church we're right on the edge of a cliff. We can either choose to step off and soar with eagles, or we can go back to what would seem like safe ground and miss out. And this morning, David said, we're asking for heaven to come down from earth, that God's glory would be manifest in this place. That's just in the last two Sundays, what God's been saying to us as a church. Okay. Let's go. I want to have a look at that. Last year I taught on spirit, soul and body, that we're a spirit. We have a soul, we have a body, we live in a body. And God was talking a lot to me at that time about that we don't go by what we see or what we hear or what we feel or what we taste. We don't go by that. He was teaching me in particular a lot about not ignoring my natural senses but downplaying them. There seemed to be this big emphasis on, you know, don't go on what you see and feel and hear and smell and touch. And I emphasised that quite a lot last year, and it feels like stepping into this new year, God's taking me to a new place and saying, that was good, but now that I've taught you that, I want you to see the next step, which is to awaken your spiritual senses. So that's where I'm at this morning. I want us to, let's have a look at Revelation 1 together. Revelation 1, don't be scared. I'll just go there myself, would be good. Revelation 1. Okay, and we'll start at verse 10. Revelation 1:10 says, I, which is John, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. So we all know that John was on the Isle of Patmos. So his physical body was on the Isle of Patmos on some, I imagine it to be quite, probably wasn't, but I imagine it to be some nice, you know, sandy beach and little sun lounge or something, but probably wasn't like that. So his body was on the Isle of Patmos, but he says clearly, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. So I want that to be firm in your mind. John declares he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. So we see straight away John saying, I'm in the Spirit, but I heard a voice. So this tells me that my spirit has the sense of hearing. Because he's in the Spirit and he says, I heard a voice. My spirit has the sense of hearing. He says, the voice was saying, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia. So John's in the Spirit, but he's going to see something. He's not seeing that with his natural body, which is back on the aisle, laying on the sun lounge. His spiritual eyes are going to see something. He's in the Spirit. Verse 12, then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool and white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. Verse 17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. I imagine that when you fall at someone's feet as in dead, I imagine him laying flat out on his face on the floor as if dead. And then he says, but he laid his right hand on me. So in his spirit, he could feel, because he felt the Lord lay his right hand on him. Because he couldn't see him, he's as if he's dead, but he felt. So he had hearing, he could hear in his spirit, he could see in his spirit, he could feel in his spirit. How good is that? How good is the word? I do just want to go to Revelation 10, I think it is. Let me just check. Where am I? Revelation 10, verse 9. And that says, so I went to the angel and said to him, give me the little book. And he said to me, he's still in the spirit, remember? He said to me, take and eat, and it will make your stomach bitter, and it will be as sweet as honey in your mouth. So he could taste. And we know that smell and taste, those senses go together. For him to be able to taste, he needed to be able to smell in the spirit. So here we see, I just wanted to show you that in our spirit man, we have senses. And it's time for us to awaken those senses. 2 Corinthians 4:18 tells us that we can look at things which aren't seen. It says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. I can look at something that can't be seen. If we don't understand that we have spiritual senses, that makes no sense. Psalm 34:8 says that we can taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. And there's loads more scriptures. I'm sure you could do word studies on everything about tasting and hearing and seeing. I just wanted us to be able to know and understand that in the spirit we have senses. All of us. If we're going to fulfill our vision and our mission as a church, as individuals, we must learn to recognize and use our spiritual senses. It's vital. In the physical realm, so in our natural world, if someone is missing out on one of their senses, we say they're disabled. That's a word that we understand. We know what that means. It means having a physical or mental disability, unable to perform one or more of the natural activities, either to be able to see or hear, something like that. How many of us are disabled spiritually? Wow, I can be disabled spiritually, and there is absolutely no reason for any of us. This is not limited to one or two spiritual people. If you are born again, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. We all have the same spiritual senses. Doesn't matter if you're 102, whether you've been a Christian 5 minutes or 55 years, we all have spiritual senses. But how in tune are you to them? How awake are they? The world is getting darker. We know that. We've heard prophecies about it this year. We heard that. It's going to be dark. There's going to be chaos. We can see it. People are sick of things not working out. It's chaotic out there. Everywhere I turn, everything I hear. And it's not just violence, it's sickness. Sickness is getting darker, and it seems, if we focus on that. Every channel on the TV, every person I talk to, if we had a conversation in here, we would all know many people who have cancer and sickness and mental torment, all sorts of things. The world is getting darker, and it is vital as Christians that we understand that we have the answer. Jesus is the answer. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. We are His ambassadors. We are His representatives. Not Joe Blow down the street, not the government, not the welfare, not the psychic, not the computer analyst, not the accountant who can give all this. You know, everything in the world falls apart. It seems like a solution for a time and then it fails. We have the only fail-safe. And it's in us, and it's about time that we, and I'm talking to me, you know that. Whenever I stand up here and talk, I'm only sharing with you what God's challenging me about first. It's time for us. It's not good enough anymore. It's not good enough anymore to just say, well, I know God works, but I can't prove it to you. It's not that God needs us to prove anything. He is God. But this was the commission He gave us. Go and tell people and lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Release them. Set the captives free. That's our commission. And we need to awaken our spiritual senses. It is vital. We have the answer. We've had the prophetic word this year. This is the time in the movie when the hero comes in. Our hero has come. And now it's time for us. This is that do or die when it's gotten as dark as it's going to get and the hero comes in and saves the day. Well, guess what, church? That's us. And it's scary to be standing on the edge of a precipice. Charlie and I were on holidays this year and we went down Bulleye Pass in Wollongong. I don't know if any of you have ever been there. And it is a spectacular view. But man, that lookout is scary. And I said to Charlie, I'm going to go and stand on the end of that lookout. And even he was a bit scaredy to go there. And I said, you better take my picture and prove to the kids that I did that. And I was shaking and I couldn't open my eyes. But I did it. You know, I know how scary it is to stand on the edge of something. But it's even scarier to me that we would miss out what God's doing in our time. That's scarier to me than going and standing on the edge. I've been reading a book recently, and I recommend it highly, by Bill Johnson. It's called When Heaven Invades Earth. And he's written a second book, and we actually have the second one in our lending library if anyone wants it, the Supernatural Power of a Transformed Mind. Both of those books I highly recommend. I just am going to read now some quotes from that book, his first one, When Heaven Invades Earth. And he says in that book, "The lack of miracles isn't because it is not in God's will for us. The problem exists between our ears. As a result, a transformation, a renewing of the mind is needed, and it's only possible through a work of the Holy Spirit that typically comes upon desperate people. Our mandate is simple," he says. "Raise up a generation that can openly display the raw power of God. This world needs to see the raw power of God." Why do we need miracles? Why do we need to display the power of God? Because they are signs. They point people to Jesus. We don't worship the sign. We don't worship the miracle. We don't want signs and wonders just because they give us goosebumps and make us feel good. We don't need that. We need signs and wonders and miracles to point people to Jesus. They are lost. And what does a sign do when we're lost? I know when I'm lost, I want to see a sign that tells me I'm going the right way. They need a sign to point them to Jesus. He goes on in his book to say, "The invasion of God into impossible situations comes through people. A people who have received power from on high and learn to release it into the circumstances of life." He says, "Jesus expects people to see from the heart. The born-again experience enables us to see from our heart." He says, "Herein lies the secret to the supernatural realm that we want to see restored to the church. Jesus told us that he only did what he saw his Father do." How did Jesus see his Father do anything? Through his Spirit. That's how. Through the Spirit. He says, "What the world needs is for the church." I love this, and I want you to hear this. "What the world needs is for the church," that's us, Mombolk Christian Fellowship, "what Mombolk needs, what my family needs, what your family needs, is for the church to return to a show and tell message on the kingdom of God. They need an anchor that is greater than anything else they can see. We have the privilege of representing heaven in this world so that we might bring a manifestation of heaven into this world." That's what the Lord said to us this morning. We want heaven on earth. It's the year of miracles. It's time to awaken our spiritual senses. The MCF vision statement says to see every member awake. I don't think that that's a mistake that that's in there. It doesn't mean, I can see that you're awake, your eyes are open, but it's not talking about that. It's talking about to see every member spiritually awake, your spiritual senses in tune. What have you been seeing in the Spirit? What have you been hearing? What have you been feeling in your spirit? I'm convinced that the world's in a dark, desperate place. I'm fully convinced that Jesus is the answer and that he has commissioned us, the church, to deliver that good news, to show the people a way out, to show them the signs. It's going to be scary. I know it's scary to pray for someone. What if they don't get healed? Well, guess what? What if they do? If you don't pray, they're not going to. But if you do, they may get healed. I know that we pray sometimes and we don't see people get healed, but does that stop us praying? It shouldn't. Even if I pray for 100 people and one gets healed, does that mean I shouldn't have prayed 100 times? No. And so what if we, you know, I know that we get scared. I do when I think, but what if I pray and it doesn't happen? Well, what if you pray and it does? We don't think about that. We all want these prophetic words to come to pass. We love the prophetic word. I love the prophetic word. It's exciting. We get excited. The prophetic word is seeing things that aren't reality yet in the physical realm. The prophetic word is seeing what God sees as already. And then what do we do with that? The prophetic word becomes reality in the physical realm when we mix it with our faith and deeds. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but you don't show it by your actions? And, you know, in the past we've always thought of that as being we'll go feed someone or we'll go clothe someone. Well, it does mean that, but I mean by your actions. Go pray for, listen to someone's life situation, pray for them, speak the word into their lives. Pray for them right then and there. Give them the answer. Surely the Lord God does... Oh, sorry, that was my Amos. I found it. It's hiding right there, Amos 3:7. When we hear the prophetic word, we've heard it. It's the year of miracles, no small thing. The year of grand proportions, it builds our faith. And that's good. We see with our spiritual eyes what God wants to do. And then we pray heaven down to earth. We prepare ourselves. We hear that word. We take it in. We pray about it. God, I hear what, I see what you want to do. I see what you want to do. Now, what do you want me to do? How do I get ready for that? Where do you want me to be? What do I need to be doing for you, Lord? It builds our faith. We prepare ourselves. We spend time in his presence. We pray in tongues. We look for opportunities to prove God's word. We look for opportunities. We look for opportunities. You wouldn't have to go far in your life to look for an opportunity to prove God's word. It's time, church, to awaken our spiritual senses. How do we do that? I think we can all agree, yeah, we see it. We need to do that. How do we do that? Well, Hebrews 5:12 tells us, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age." So those that who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. How do you get to full age? How do you awaken your spiritual senses? You use them. You use them. It says by reason of use. We need to learn to recognize them. I remember a couple of weeks ago now, I was, I think I was leading worship and I just, all of a sudden, out of the blue, got a headache. I could feel a headache. I'm like, what is that? Where did that come? Where did that come from? And then the Lord showed me, he was teaching me on the spot, that you don't have a headache. Someone here has a headache that you need to pray for now, and they will be healed of that. And that day I prayed for headaches and people were healed. I had someone who, you know, had a headache for 4 days and were like, how did Karen know I had a headache for 4 days? I didn't. I didn't know anything about that. So it's learning. In the past, I probably would have ignored that and gone home and taken a Panadol and thought, whoa, that was a bad headache. It wasn't about that. It's learning to recognize it. You know, and that takes practice. You won't always get it first. Sometimes you will miss it, but sometimes you won't. And then you'll get more used to it. I've over the time, you know, giving prophetic word and praying for people and being able to stand along with those who would teach me that, I've learned to recognize it more and learned to recognize how my body reacts to the Holy Spirit, what happens to me. I know when my heart races and I feel like I'm going to puke and all those things. That's the Holy Spirit actually on me. It's not that I'm going to be, do you know what I mean? You might react differently, but we've got to learn to recognize it and then act on it. It's when I've acted on it and God's been gracious to allow me to hear, for instance, that example of someone who had a headache. Oh, I was right. I recognized it. You know, God is good. He shows us that, okay, next time I will just trust that and go with that. David was telling me a story this week about how he went shopping with Bev and didn't really want to be shopping with Bev. He's given me permission to tell this story. He didn't really want to be shopping with Bev, so he let Bev go into the shop and he's like, I'll just wait patiently with a good attitude out here and watch all the people go past. And, you know, he said at the most unspiritual moment, all of a sudden, he started seeing people differently. He was just watching people and he really started to feel differently towards them. You know, he wasn't being super spiro and having a prayer meeting in the shopping center, but he recognized the Holy Spirit and he was actually seeing people the way God was seeing them at that moment. And he, in that moment, met a man who he had a conversation with. Now, if he'd have just ignored that, that wouldn't have happened. But he's been around long enough to recognize the Holy Spirit in him and what that feels like and then acted on it. That's what we need to do. We need that. Okay, I need to finish. This is the want word, Mombok Christian Fellowship. I want you to stand up with me because this is a word for each one of you. It's a word for us as a house. But individually, we make up this house. And there is a lot of people, I firmly believe that we may be relatively, in comparison to other places, small in number. But boy, do we have a sphere of influence that's far-reaching. We are in the right place at the right time. What a time in history. What a time in history to be alive and to be born. God chose each one of us to be here right now. Okay, Mombok Christian Fellowship, it's time to awaken your spiritual senses. There is a harvest right at your doorstep that is ripe and ready. This harvest is so large that it will take all of you holding your weight at the net to bring it in. This is the year of grand proportion. But each one of you must reach the ones that God has set before you. Don't miss the move. This is the Lord. Don't miss the move of my spirit. Don't miss the move of my spirit. Awaken your spiritual senses and let the signs and wonders that come point the lost to me. Father, we hear your word. We hear you, Lord. And Lord, we will respond. Teach us, Holy Spirit, how to use our spiritual senses. If there are areas where we have disabled ourselves, forgive us, Lord. Show us, Holy Spirit. Show us those areas. There is no need for one of us to be spiritually disabled, to be spiritually handicapped. We have been given everything we need to reach this world for Christ. We have the power of the one that raised Christ from the dead, living inside each one of us. Nothing is impossible for those who believe. Father, we want to be a church, we will be a church that fulfills the commission that you have given us. Teach us, Holy Spirit, we yield to you. We yield to you, Holy Spirit, and we thank you that you reveal yourself to us. We love you, Lord. Amen.
Thanks for listening, and please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombok Christian Fellowship.